Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks for being here for our service, enjoying the wonderful music that we offer to God this morning, and welcome you here on the third Sunday of Easter to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service as well, and wish you the Lord's Easter blessings on your day and your coming week. This morning for our hymn of invocation, we stand and sing hymn 411, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Let's stand if you're able and we'll sing.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
There is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We continue now with our responsive introit from Psalm 145. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
They shall see of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, comes from the book of Acts in the 9th chapter. We begin in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from the book of Revelation in the 5th chapter. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne of the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand at this time for our Alleluia and our reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias and revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing together our doxology. I invite you to confess your faith together with us to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day for today, that's hymn 483, "With High Delight, Let Us Unite." He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. We remember the Apostle Peter, do we not, from the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Three times, Peter's asked, are you one of Jesus' disciples? And each time, Peter replied, no. Once, even using some language we wouldn't think we should use, and saying, I don't know the man. And even to this day, the old church mourns with Peter in his denial of the Lord that night, just as Jesus had said it was going to happen. And even though Peter was informed of this before it took place, he responded to Jesus. It's in Matthew 26, verse 35, Peter's response to Jesus when Jesus told him this was going to happen. He said, even if I must die with you, he told Jesus, I will not deny you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. But Peter, it's like he couldn't stop it from happening that night. And it's kind of the same for us as we sit in church this morning, full of faith, worshiping, praising, praying to God, receiving Christ's gifts. In some ways, we're a lot like Peter. I will not deny you. Yet when fear and temptation blend in just the right concoction, we're caught. And by our own choices, and by our own fault, our own most grievous fault, we sin against God, break His commandments, and we're also doing simultaneously what Peter did, denying our Lord. To say, I love Christ, and then break His commandments is denial. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But here's what I notice about our text this morning, is that Peter did deny Jesus. But it wasn't really what he wanted to do. It's interesting. As the scriptures say, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. It happened in his weakness, those denials. And the same is true for us. We don't plan to fall into sin's snare. Right? But we often do. We aren't intent on sinning as believers. In fact, I know we're intent on never wanting to sin against our Lord who we love. We don't want to deny Him either. But like Peter, God will show us how weak we are. In our gospel reading this morning, we get to catch a glimpse of Peter's true heart for Jesus, his heart of faith, given to him by grace. And the text is awesome because Peter's strength isn't in his power not to deny the Lord that night, but rather his strength we see in our gospel reading, in his reckless need for Jesus that we see in the text. And it's the same for us. Remember what Jesus said to the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul was feeling weak. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, that's not how we think about it, but it's the same for Peter, and it's the same for you and me. And if you don't know, this gospel reading from John 21 is my absolute favorite gospel account in the whole Bible. I have a painting in my office of this account that my brother did for me. In the painting, it's early morning. The sky's red. There's a fire on the beach. And Peter, he's running / swimming through the waves and sea foam, just trying to get to Jesus. He's running like recklessly. He's desperate to get there. That's where Peter's true strength becomes visible to us, that it comes from Christ and that desire that he put in Peter. And this is a lesson in true strength for all of us. Listen to the text with me again here. It's just verses 4-8. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. Now I'm convinced that the other disciples were excited to see Jesus too when they heard it was him. But Peter, in this narrative, is just awesome. He's all heart, right? He just, when he realizes it's Jesus, he just barrels out of the boat into the water and starts going that way. Just running and swimming and whatever. It's just gorgeous. There's no doubt that Peter's heart is still broken at this point by his denial of Christ that night before his crucifixion. But it's like Jesus said to the woman who washed his feet in Luke chapter 7, "He who's forgiven much loves much." And we all know our sin, sins of the past, sins of the present, and we know how weak we are, that we too can't seem to escape this on our own power. And Satan will use that to hurt us, to try and drag us away from God. And it's true that sin separates us from God, save this one fact, that Jesus died for sinners. He is our Savior. It's in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous," he says, "but sinners to repentance." I think the reason I love this passage of Scripture so much is that because that same reckless need for Christ, that faith that lived in Peter, it lives in you. And it lives in me. That same desperation for him. Just think of the excitement of this moment, that one day you'll be there. And Jesus will be calling you after this life is over. Think of the excitement that will be in your heart when you go, "Oh, it's really him. It's really Jesus." And many of our loved ones who've already died in the faith have already had this moment. Like our dear Susan, who passed away on Thursday. She bailed out of this life and she ran to Jesus. A lot like Peter, he got to live that moment on earth. But imagine all those you know who've already had it. Faith is beautiful on every level. And this, friends, is how we should think about church. Each week, we get to relive this moment that we read about in John 21. Every single week. Saturday night, when Patricia and I are putting the kids to bed and we're saying prayers, often the question comes, "Is there Sunday school tomorrow?" And we say, "Yep." And they go, "Yay!" And they jump up and down. It's okay to be excited about church. About Sunday school? That's pretty cool. About being with Jesus? That's Peter in our text this morning. I've often wondered, when people despise the sacrament and refuse to come, what's wrong? Why aren't they excited about Christ like Peter was? I mean, you get excited, don't you? I mean, as adults, we don't really go, yay! But the excitement's still there. It's still in us. Think about what church is. Imagine opening the Valley Courier. I mean, I know some of us still read the newspaper or scrolling on Facebook, and you see an ad or an article that says that Jesus is going to be in Alamosa at a certain time and a certain place. And you're like, whoa, I think I'll get up early for that, like we did on Sunrise Easter. Barely we sleep the night before. Wait, Jesus is going to be actually in town? Is that what you're saying? He's going to be here? We'd unquestionably and recklessly rearrange our entire lives not to miss it. What could be more important than being with Jesus when he's in town? We wouldn't miss it for the world. It's worth jumping off any boat of busyness to make that happen. So I encourage you or admonish you to look at your schedule and ask what you can bail out of to be with Christ. When he promises to be here, it's his own promise that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's church. That's what happens every Sunday morning. I'm glad you made it. And I'm glad I made it to be with Christ. And what does he do for his disciples in our reading? But he feeds them. They came excited to be with him, and he feeds us too. And then he takes just a few minutes to remind Peter what being a follower of Jesus is really all about, doesn't he? He says to him, not by coincidence, three times. The same number of times that Peter denied him the night before his crucifixion, he says, do you love me? And he asks you the same question this morning, and me. Do you love me? And he promises to hear us. And so our answer, yes, we love you. And he says, feed my lambs. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to me. Just like he said it to Peter. And that's what we do when we faithfully attend church on Sunday. When we devote ourselves and commit ourselves to making sure that the gospel keeps being preached and the sacraments keep being administered according to Christ's command. That's what we're doing when we bail out of other things for the sake of the gospel. To make sure that this, what we're doing right now, this beautiful anti-cultural thing that other people look at and they can't even begin to understand for a second, to make sure that this keeps happening always so Jesus can keep feeding his lambs and his sheep. So don't sell yourself short on the things that you're doing that are a part of this. Because it's a very, very big deal. Don't sell yourself short on your service. We know what he did for us. We know that we too have denied him, but he died on the cross for our sins, and he loved us first, and because of that, according to the book of 1 John, we also love him. And he says to us again, tend my sheep. Do you love him? And he says, feed my sheep. It's a blessed calling that we have. A very blessed calling. Do you realize what he's included you in? In bringing life and salvation to people who do not have it. When you bail out of something that the world counts valuable and put your time, talent, and treasure into His kingdom, when you sign up to do even snacks for our fellowship time, ushering in the service, faithfully showing up on Sunday morning, if you're willing to serve on a board for the church or a school board or our school board, anything you're doing here or outside of here for Jesus, don't sell yourself short. It makes a huge difference. It all works together to feed His sheep. And it's kind of true what He told us about this, right? He told us that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a heavy lift to help in these ways. It's awesome. It's not oppressive to make time for church. It's a blessing every single time. And it shows our hearts, right, that we would bail out for Jesus like Peter did. And I'm almost done, but this, I think, is one of the most amazing parts of the text. Fishing was the apostles' vocation. It was what they did before Jesus showed up and called them to be His disciples. And now after Jesus' death and resurrection, they're back out there doing it. And there's a lesson in that for you and me. Because when they're out there doing it, they're not successful in catching the fish, right? Jesus says, "Hey, children, have you caught any fish?" And they say, no, we haven't. And He says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." And what He's saying to us is that when we go forth from this place, out into our regular everyday lives and vocations, that we don't go out there because we're Christian, because we believe in Jesus crucified for us and risen for us. We don't go out there just for ourselves, just to make money or to try to be successful. But no, we cast our nets on the right side of the boat, and we go out there as a ministry to get a chance to show Christ's love to other people, to show them what true forgiveness is, to forgive them when they've hurt us, and make that statement that Christ is real and He's true. And even in those spots, we're able to feed His lambs and His sheep by sharing the Word of God. And oh, the catch. When the church is doing Christ's work, feeding His lambs, tending His flock, feeding His sheep, we won't be able to haul it in, friends. This building won't hold it. You'll see things you never thought you'd get to see at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. Why? Not because we're great. Not because we went out and did something, but because it's Jesus. That's why. Because it's really Him. And He's really here. And He gave Himself for us, and He gave Himself for all of them. And as soon as you know, as soon as you realize that, you bail out of the boat for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Worthy are You, O Lord, to receive the praise and thanksgiving of Your people. For You have sent Your Son as the Lamb to ransom us by His blood and make us a kingdom of priests in Your service. Bless Your church, that all we endeavor to do in Your name may be used in accord with Your will. Accomplish Your holy purpose in calling many joyfully to know Your redemption. Lord, in Your mercy, ever-living God, You raise up Saul from among Your enemies that he would suffer for Your name. Stir up all those baptized into Your name Call many men into the office of holy ministry, and many men and women of your church to cast their nets on the right side of the boat and do all that they do for you rather than for self. Sustain all, including our missionaries of our church who are scattered abroad. Protect them as they endeavor to preach the gospel and even suffer for the gospel. And continue to confound our enemies with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all nations, you provided a miraculous catch of fish to the apostles and much more. You bless their efforts as fishers of men. Continue to bless the church as she spreads the gospel and gathers in many as would be saved. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, one generation of your saints commends your works to another. As we have received your glorious gospel, grant all fathers and mothers strong and joyful faith to declare your mighty acts to the next generation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, enthroned in heaven, you have ordered all the nations of earth to have set your church among them, to shepherd them unto eternal life. Hear the prayers we continually offer for our rulers, especially President Trump, Vice President Vance, Governor Polis, and all in our legislature. Grant them faithful and peaceful governance, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you are glorified in the sufferings of your faithful people. Teach us to trust you through all our trials and to graciously bear up those who struggle among us. Especially we name before you from the altar this morning, Audra Rendon, Julie Knoll, Greg Gonzalez, the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, the family of Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, the family of Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, that they would know the fullness of your love and care. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you gave your Son to be the Lamb. He has given us his own flesh to be our food and his very blood to be our drink. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we who approach his table may receive his gifts with repentant hearts and faith. And what we receive with our lips, we may keep in holy hearts and show forth in holy lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are holy. And you sanctify us in Christ. Give us strength during temptation, courage in times of fear, comfort in distress, and resolve in the face of persecution. Help us to abound in hope in every circumstance through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we invite Charlene to come forward. Charlene, if you don't know Char, as we call her in the school, if you don't know Char, she's one of our preschool teachers. She's been serving the school and the congregation that way for years. And we're blessed to have her and her expertise in the preschool. And also, Charlene has transferred her membership from the Lutheran Church in Hooper, Nebraska, to our church here at Trinity Alamosa. So if you would you open your hymnals with me to page 271? And since Char's transferred in by letter of transfer, we don't have to we don't go through the same situation, but I do want to go through what's on page 271. Right in the middle of the page, you'll notice the congregational response there, right in the middle for that section. So we want to go through just that one paragraph, and then I ask you as a congregation to respond with the response there in the middle of page 271. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Charlene, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus, and an heir with all of us in the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in the name of Jesus as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Take a moment and greet Char after church, and we're glad you're here officially. Thank you. And Emily Johnson, if you are, oh, there she is. And many of you know Emily Johnson, and we'll receive Emily into membership today by a confession of faith. So we go through, we're on page 272 if you'd like to follow along with us in the hymnal. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Emily, you've been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God in this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce him."
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
Yes.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures, and as you've learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you've been baptized and received the teaching of the Lord, and you've confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Emily, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has given you new birth in the water and of the Spirit and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing this, your daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, then enabling her with a heart to believe and with a mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that bringing forth fruits of faith, that she may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall continue in their confession and to the end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Lord, You've united your children in the waters of baptism to the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew them in the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance, with faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in the hearing of Christ's word and the receiving of his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear their cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Emily Johnson, peace be with you. Amen. And we repeat the same phrase, we receive you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. We now come to our time of tithes and offerings this morning. Our hymn to sing during our offering is hymn 818, In Thee is Gladness. And if you'll notice also, there is a new insert in your bulletin that gives some more information as far as giving, if you want to take a look at that as well. So we sing together hymn 818.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.